Welcome back. You are listening to the Mom Struggling Well podcast. Yep, I did it. Changed it right back. It's not something that marketing professionals would advise. It's like a rebrand or a de-rebrand. Maybe it'll be the next big thing. Regardless, we did change it, so let's go ahead and settle into the new old name of the show. Incidentally, we are about, I mean, math is hard and I'm not looking at it right now, but I think we are about 7 shows away from 200 episodes. That's a big deal. That's a really big deal. I don't know if you remember when my friend Natalie made pottery mugs that said Mom's Struggling Well. She made a limited number and I happen to have 2 extra ones. Her shop's not open right now, so you can't get them. They say Mom's Struggling Well. They're fantastic. And even after going to Missouri and my family, we took a class of a pottery class where we each had a wheel and we each made a pot. And I'm telling you, it was a marvelous disaster. It was so difficult. So the fact that these are made on a wheel, handmade on a wheel, I don't even know how they all look the same because that is so hard. But anyway, so I have 2 hand-thrown mugs that say Mom's Struggling Well. They are not cheap, as they should not be. They're pieces of art. Anyway, I'm going to give 2 of them away. You can't get them anywhere else. I figure it would be great if I had 200 to give away, but I'm not Oprah, so I'm going to give away 2 for the 200th episode. I know it's a little anticlimactic, but we got to work within our budget, right? So anyway, make sure that you have joined us over on Instagram at Mom Struggling Well, because I will be telling you how to get in on that giveaway. You're going to want one of these mugs. I'm also hoping to work with my friend Amber, who makes t-shirts, to make some limited edition Mom Struggling Well t-shirts to commemorate the new old name of the show plus the 200th episode. Amber, by the way, doesn't know this, so she might find out when she listens to this. So, hey, Amber, can we make shirts? Thanks. All right, so today I'm talking to Vivian Mabuni. What a warm, friendly, just a lover. We had the best conversation about having open hands, having a willing heart. What does it look like to surrender? We talked about the Sabbath. We talked about a lot of great things. So let's go ahead and jump right in. Good morning, Vivian. How are you today?
I'm doing really well. Yeah. Really well.
Are you doing a lot of interviews for your book?
Yes. Yes, I am.
Do you like them? Are they exhausting?
You know, actually, I find it really fun to talk about. I did an audio book for this book, so now I know what's in the book because writing a book is like 2 years ago. So it's like, what did I say? And now that I've read the book out loud, I am again reminded of what's in the book. And I'm like, oh, I kind of like that. So
good. Do you still like it after so long of like working with this project?
Yes, I do. Short answer is yes, because the message to me is such a part of my life. So I use the title alone as my recalibration, like all the day long. So it's like open hands, willing heart. And you know, when I'm having conflict with my husband, it's like, I don't have open hands, willing heart. I have clenched hands, angry heart. So, but it's really helpful for me as a recalibration kind of, you know, check my soul. Like, how are we doing here? How are we doing here? So,
yeah, that's really good. Okay. So tell us a little bit about you as a person, your family, that kind of stuff.
Yes. So we live here in Mission Viejo in Southern California, where the temperature is usually between 72 and 78. So under 72, you know, we consider that cold, and over 78 is hot. It's just, someone has to live here. So, I have been married, it'll be 28 years in a couple weeks, to my husband, Darren, and we have 3 kids. My oldest son is 25, Jonathan. Michael is 22, just graduated from college in May. And then my daughter's 17, and she's currently working at Starbucks.
Love it. That is an intense job.
It is, and she is really good at it. And so, and then she gets, as part of her like perks for working at Starbucks, she gets a free bag of coffee beans every week. So all my dreams are coming true, Emily.
Oh, all my dreams. That's so good. Well, there you go. So you have a book called, like you said, Open Hands, Willing Heart. And I loved all of it. And I got to tell you, I'm in grad school. I work full time as a nurse. I don't do a lot of reading for fun.
Oh, gosh.
But I really loved this book.
Oh, you read my book.
I read it. That's got to feel really good, I guess.
I feel really honored.
Oh, well, I'm telling you, a lot of books come to my house, too.
I bet. So I feel super honored.
Your chapter on busyness really hurt my feelings. No, I mean... So I brought you on here for a confrontation.
I'm ready.
Because you talked about Sabbath and how important Sabbath is and having rhythms and, you know, that God didn't... He didn't show us rest because he needed rest. He showed us rest because we need rest, right? And so I would love to just talk a little bit about that because most of my listeners are moms in all the stages of momdom. Mm. Like right now, I work outside the home. I'm a student. I have this podcast. I feel called to each thing.
Sure, sure.
It's full.
Yes.
In on top of that, I'm not really good at stopping and resting from the busyness. And so anyway, let's talk about Sabbath.
Yes. Well, I love the name of your podcast, Mom Struggle Well, because I struggle. So it's not like I have it all together, although I'm seeking to unlock some more of, you know, not to be legalistic, you know, but are you familiar with Peter Scazzaro, the emotionally healthy leader, the emotionally healthy church? Like in a nutshell, basically he was a lead pastor in Queens, New York, with a growing, vibrant church.
And yeah, and his wife quit. Yes, I read that.
Jerry.
Okay.
Yes. So Jerry quit.
Quit her own church.
Her own husband's church, yes. And
bold move.
Right. Super bold move. And that sent him into a real soul-searching time, like, what in the world? And out of that came the emotionally healthy church. And from that, I think his conclusion was, you know, you can have it all or try to be having it all and miss it completely. So his wife's bold move sent him to therapy where he was uncovering some of why he was so driven, you know, and out of that has come a whole series of great material. So at one of the IF gatherings, in fact, they had the Emotionally Healthy Spirituality, which is a book. And I ended up doing a women's Bible study with that. And it was just, the timing of it was so good. But one of the things that really stood out to me was this idea of Sabbath. Mm-hmm. And I had read another book called Choosing Rest by Sally Breedlove. And that was like years ago. So I was familiar with Sabbath as a college student. I tried to like not study on Sundays. Like that was my Sabbath. You know, I go to church and not study. And that was like my Sabbath. What Pete Scazzaro was bringing forth was like, what does it look like to do actually a 24-hour Sabbath? You know, and that kind of took it up a little bit for me. And for me, it was like, okay, what are some ways not to be legalistic about it, but to literally stop? Yeah. And there are three words, I think it's in the book or whatever, for Sabbath, you know, like one is to cease. And then one is to suffer for wanting or something, suffer for, I should probably look it up. Rhythms of rest, we should find it. But it is this idea that we will never finish it, like the to-do list will never end. And it's actually a step of faith to trust that it's going to be okay. And so one of the pastors at the same church that Peter Scazzaro pastored, he talked about his Sabbath on a, I think it was a radio program or a podcast or a book or something, but he talked about how he lives in a community in New York City that Jewish, you know, really high number of Jewish people live in this community, and they really do Sabbath well. Like the door, everything shuts down.
Even in my town, where there's not a lot of Jewish people, you see the Jewish people walking. You know, it's the Sabbath because they're walking to church.
They're walking. So, and they literally like close down the shop or whatever. And he was talking about how Black Friday they have their Sabbath from Friday evening to Saturday evening. And for him as a pastor, that's what he's chosen, Friday evening to Saturday evening, because he ministers on Sunday. And so his whole community, his whole neighborhood, everybody, the stores, everything shuts down. But here were these businessmen who were having to trust Yahweh with Black Friday, which is the arguably biggest sales date, and they were going to choose to not sell on Black Friday on Amazon. And wouldn't you know, the Lord blew their categories by blessing so many more fold. So there's that, there's a faith aspect in it too. Like, you know what? I am literally going to suffer for wanting. I think that's what the Hebrew word is. So for me, what I've been trying to do, and I don't do it perfectly, but as I do it, I experience the benefit, is I literally like put the phone away. That's one of my biggest issues, is the vibe to the phone, to the scrolling, into the emails. And I light a candle. I have a special candle that I only light, you know, sundown on Saturday, you know, and the smell, it's kind of a whole experience, yes. You know, and that for my friends who have young kids at home, it kind of alerts them like, okay, we're switching it up now. Like this special candle is being lit and we're just slowing down. And so when the candle is lit, it reminds me to walk a little slower, you know, to chew a little slower, you know, like just take it in. And on those days, you know, it's not like I don't drive, but I'm not like frantic, you know, yes. Like it's just my hands are not gripping the steering wheel. It's like, it's just loosened up a little bit. And if I can get in a little bit of a walk to delight, that's another word for Sabbath, was to delight. And as I walk, I notice the flowers, like I can stop and look at the petals and take in the color, you know, or smell the jasmine. You know, it's like, it really replenishes my soul. And I take a nap if I need to, or that's when I can read the fun books that I wanted to, that, you know, have nothing to do with anything, but it's just a time to delight.
I want to pause for a moment and tell you about actually our very first sponsor ever of the show, way a long time ago, Jelly Telly. Jelly Telly is an ad-free subscription video app for Christian kids that also creates children's books to help kids grow in their faith. They've got board books, picture books, activity books. They also have middle grade books. And coming soon, they have a Bible for kids called the Laugh and Learn Bible. It's the first ever storybook Bible written by VeggieTales and What's in the Bible creator Phil Fisher. In the Laugh and Learn Bible for Kids, each story is vividly illustrated and includes a family connection plus other bonus content that connects the stories, allowing you to engage your kids in gospel-led conversations while you read the Bible. It is so cool and so necessary. So right now, Jelly Telly is offering a special pre-order deal. You can visit laughandlearnbible.com and use the coupon code STRUGGLEWELL to pre-order the Bible for $9.99. That's 50% off. You can also get a free download of the Read and Color the Gospels, which is a 64-page Bible sampler that your kids can color as you read together. Come on, that is so neat. You'll also receive a sample of the audio Bible narrated by the one and only Phil Fisher. So pre-order the Laugh and Learn Bible for Kids today and begin a fun-filled journey through the Bible with your family. Visit laughandlearnbible.com and use coupon code STRUGGLEWELL, all one word, to save 50%. As I wrestled through, and I was actually, as I was sitting down and reading this book, I thought, and of course, I sat down to read it, like, this is something I need to get done for my work, right?
Yes.
I hate to say it, this was not a fun read. It started off as I need to do this for my job. And then, and as I did it, I realized, like, I am busy, but it's the way that I go about my busy that is unrestful. There's a way to be restful in my work, and I'm not. Yeah. And the problem is not clearing out my schedule. It's like clearing out my soul and my, you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
So anyway, I think Sabbath and the idea of it being an act of faith, that's really big. Yeah.
Well, it's sometimes I think we see our relationship with God as like all these limitations, like, oh, I shouldn't do this. I can't do that, you know, or whatever. And instead, there's really an invitation that I think the Lord brings to us of, hey, it's okay. it's okay. Yeah. Like, I'm not actually calling you to be crazy.
Yeah.
You know, and frantic. Like, I am here. It's peaceful in my presence. And my soul craves that, but it really is. I think it's another great book called Strengthening the Soul of Your Leadership by Ruth Haley Barton.
And she I love her.
Yes. So she uses this illustration where she took a glass jar. She did this for her staff meeting or something like that, and had rocks and sediment in it. And she just shook it all up and then she put it down. And then it was like, over time, the water settles and then you can see again. And that is like, our soul actually needs time to let everything settle, and then we can see again, you know.
Amazing.
And I just feel like that's like that that recalibrating that we need, you know, moment by moment as we're going along all day, every day. You know, I think God brings to mind these things, but then as we have that time to just to let it just rest and listen to our bodies, and honestly, sometimes the best thing is to take a nap, you know, and bringing our kids into that, you know, seeing like, oh gosh, this is a special time, you know, that we do things a little easier.
That's great.
And for me, it's not a legalistic thing either, where it's like, okay, cannot cook at all. But as I'm cooking, I'm just doing it slow. Like, yeah. I'm like grateful that these carrots crunch as I'm cutting into them. You know, it's just, there's just a delighting in the texture and the color and the smell. And so it's not like I have to not use electricity.
Right. I didn't.
You know, yeah. In that sense, but just really, but, you know, maybe that is something that I could try. I don't know. You know, so yeah. I feel like there's enough room to tweak and, you know, see, because different seasons of life call for different places. But I think here, you know, God is inviting us to rest in Him and delight in what He has already blessed us with. And there's no need to strive.
Yeah. Ooh. That sentence alone has only taken me 40 years and I'm still trying to figure it out. But yes. So tell me about the idea of doing it from sun down. Like, I guess I would think you started in the morning and ended at the night.
Yeah.
Is there a reason why?
I was just borrowing it from that pastor that said, you know, we start, because the Jewish community starts Friday night and goes till Saturday night, then we'll do it the same way. And
if it's good enough for God's chosen people.
Yes, let's just, it's worth a try. And for me, it really was like it just changed it up a little bit, because I used to think, you know, morning, you know, like if it's Sunday, you know, get up, go to church, take the afternoon off, and then kind of kick in after dinner, you know, or whatever. But I think adding that extra little bit kind of just like threw in a whole nother layer of, okay, this is, it's a time. It's a whole time, you know? So anyway,
I'm going to go get myself a special candle. That's what I'm going to do, Vivian.
I'm just say, hey, any reason to get a special candle.
Right.
I think so.
Okay. So you talk a lot about, you know, the open hands and it being a heart posture of surrender that we need to have. And I think as Christians who don't do a lot of the things that probably we think, well, other people do this and I'm great, we just start to feel a little, you know, proud of the way we live our lives and how amazing we are. But really, I don't think we're as surrendered as we think we are. And so, what has God taught you about surrender, and where are you realizing that that was just pretend surrender? You know what I'm saying?
Yes. Well, I think that, okay, so a couple things. One is, I think generally most people want to honor the Lord and, you know, seek to live surrendered. I mean, the whole idea is like, yes, you know, God, I want to honor you. I want to serve you. I want to love you with my heart, soul, strength, and mind. So I think that that's generally, most women want that. And in fact, just a little shout out to women. I think it's pretty amazing that in the New Testament, Jesus never spoke down to women. Mm. He never used them as the butt of the joke.
Mm.
He never shamed them or, you know, I mean, he just was so honoring to women. And
that's true, because he was really harsh with the Pharisees.
Yes, he was with the Pharisees and even the disciples. But anytime he addressed women, it was with honor, respect, and dignity.
I love that.
And Jesus is good to women. I just think that is significant. And women never abandoned him.
Like,
they got it and they saw it all the way through. They were the first to see him resurrected. I mean, it's just like,
that's
I think
really
that
cool.
We are hardwired by the Lord even to be tender toward him. There are more women missionaries than men. You know, I think we just hear and we want that for our kids, for, you know, our husbands. We just want him, you know. And so I think that that's just kind of how we're created. So that aside, I think that there comes a time in each of our lives as believers where we kind of have one of those come to Jesus moments where it's like, okay, it's all yours. You know, I am just, it's not just giving you my future or my career or my money or my children. It's like the whole kit and caboodle is yours. I'm entirely yours. I think that that is what differentiates Christians that we see, like, wow, their lives are very different. There's a quality about them that's very different. 100% they have made that decision, you know. So that open hands, willing heart, that willing heart part is a point in time decision that in the life of every vibrant Christian I've ever met. And then I think it's a re-up that God brings us to, because life gets more complicated. So in my own life, I remember we did a summer, we've been in vocational Christian work for 30 years. So I remember one of the summers we were leading a team in Japan. You know, we were living in Southern California. God had made it really such a blessing that we could own our own home, you know, and so my kids were going to these great schools in the neighborhood, walking distance. I mean, just all the things, right? Mm-hmm. And here we are in the middle of Japan, and the staff person, the Japanese national staff person, was preaching something about Hebrews in Japanese, which I do not speak or understand or comprehend in any way. So I'm sitting in the back row, and my arms are crossed, and my legs, my whole body language is just closed off. And it was because I was wrestling with God. And it was like, here, I'd already, you know, been a missionary for decades, right? I've made choices to live with open hands and willing heart. And here I was wrestling, and just my arms were crossed, my hands were clenched. And it was because God was like, Viv, if I were to ask you right now to sell the house, move here to Japan, and do my work here, would you be willing? And I was I was a little mad, Emily. I was, you know,
I live in Southern California?
Yeah, well, 72 to 78. Like, but it really was a re-up time where it was like, okay, I really need to wrestle through. Do I think that my comfort is my home is mine, that where we live is mine, that my children, you know, and their education and what I perceive is the best thing for their education, are all of those locked in so tight that I cannot even entertain the idea of doing something like that? And so I needed to wrestle through, and I finally did come to a point of surrender, like, you know what, God, it is yours. It's all yours. The home is yours. The money is yours. The children's education, their future, what I perceive as the best route, it's all for you. So, okay, if you ask us to, I will. And it wasn't like he actually did. But the question really in my heart that needed to be rooted out was I willing?
Yeah.
And that, I think, is the point where once we kind of move into willing, then God can just direct us in, you know, ways. And actually, I have not put this. Oh, wow. I have not put this together until this very moment.
Okay.
And us talking. It was right after that I got diagnosed with breast cancer.
Oh, wow.
So that was the summer before I got diagnosed with breast cancer. Whoa.
Wow. You should have said you weren't willing.
But you know what I'm saying? It's like, okay, I'm all yours.
Yeah.
It's all yours. And there, several things were part of that. The whole cancer journey, even how he went before me and prepared my heart for even the unspeakable, you know, scary diagnosis and all of that stuff.
Did you know that the FDA doesn't make brands disclose their ingredients in their feminine care products? And because they don't have to, they don't. And a lot of harsh chemicals, dyes, and other stuff that we don't want in our places, well, those things are all in our feminine care products. So I want to tell you about Lola, a brand that I really love. Lola was founded by women for women. They offer pads, liners, and tampons. And for every purchase that you make, they donate feminine care products to homeless shelters across the United States. That might be one of my favorite parts. And I'm not proud of this, but I feel like as a mom, especially a working mom who is also a student, I am remembering so many things. I never remember when I'm about to need feminine care products. I'm not new at this. I'm just bad at it. But Lola, they just deliver it right to my house. I don't have to remember to ask them to. They remember for me. Thank you, Lola. I want to give you a great deal. For 40% off of your subscription, visit mylola.com and enter SWP when you subscribe. Again, you're going to get 40% off of a subscription. You can decide how often it comes and what exactly comes in the box. You know your body the best. But for 40% off, go to mylola.com and enter code SWP when you subscribe. Will you share a piece of that? Like, how did God go before you? For a listener who's like, you know, I feel like I've surrendered so much.
Mm-hmm.
I don't feel willing in this area. Mm-hmm. And I'm really afraid that, I mean, we believe that he's trying to rip us off.
Right.
And he's
right.
not. But a lot of times there's just that one area that feels so much more scary than all the others.
Yeah. Yeah.
So how have you seen God go before you?
Well, I think it's so funny because during VBS for our kids, you know, years back, they had this little bracelet that said, watch for God. You know, and that was their little assignment. It was a watch for God. And then they would share, I saw a butterfly and, you know, whatever. It was really sweet and cute. But those words, watch for God, I think are key because I think he's speaking and preparing and, you know, leading us all the day long. Like, I think we need to watch for him. And so hindsight is 20/20 and we usually realize much later. But I think that as we live surrendered. So there's two things. One is for the listener who's struggling, gosh, it makes sense, you know, and honestly, I think as a missionary, as in vocational Christian work, I've spent the better part of my life trying to convince people to live with open hands and willing heart. Like that's just the whole, like, yes, of course, in light of who he is, you know, I think walking through my own cancer journey, it was the first time I could understand why people struggle, you know, and but that is, again, part of our journey, is that there's no formula. It's hard to trust God. Those very tender places, whether it is that one of your listeners is a single mom, and that was not part of the plan, whether by divorce or widowhood, you know, that was not a part of the plan. There might be another mom that's in the middle of adoption right now, and infertility was not a part of the plan, you know. And so there's just a real tenderness that God knows and understands. And it's not like he's out there pointing his finger like, get your life together. Would you just start trusting me? I think he's so tender with us in wanting us to know him in that, and that he's actually near during those struggle times, and that's kind of woven into our lives. So there's no formula. This open hands, willing heart, surrender posture is not a formula. It's really an embracing of having to trust God and his character. It's the prayer of honesty is even better than, okay, I trust you with everything. It's like the honest prayer of, you know what? I want to trust you. And that's just kind of where I am. So would you just help me out here?
Yeah, like, that's how I feel about running.
Right. Yes, yeah. Exactly. So it's like, would you just help me in this? And I think the Lord delights in that too. And sometimes he withholds the answer because he wants us to trust him and not what we think is the way it's supposed to be.
Gosh, yes.
So there's some of that going on too.
Yeah.
In my own life, I felt like the Lord went ahead of me because I had a group of women that I was taking through just a very beginner Bible study. They didn't know Old Testament from New Testament, or that the two dots between the chapters and the verses, what they were, you
yes,
know, like that okay. kind of beginning, which
love
is
that.
The best.
Yes.
And so as we met together, we began to trust each other. And then one of the women shared about this woman in Irvine that they called the Asian Martha Stewart because her life was just so like... perfect. You know, so her home was always clean and, you know, she was put together. Her kids were perfectly well behaved. And the food she made was just so exquisite. I mean, her life was flawless. And then this woman was diagnosed with breast cancer. And when people found out, naturally they wanted to help, you know, with all the things. And she refused. She was just like, I'll take care of it. You know, don't worry about me. And she went through her cancer treatments, lost her hair or whatever. And she could not hold her perfect world together. And then tragically, this woman took her own life.
Wow.
So she left her two kids and her husband. And I heard this story, and we were meeting in a food court at the time. And it was like, God had my 100% attention because he's like, Viv, you do not even know this Asian Martha Stewart, but you are just like her.
Wow.
You like to be the strong one. You like to help people. You have a hard time letting people in.
Yeah. Wow.
And so I made a promise to God, in October, you know, so I had gone to Japan in the summer, right?
Okay.
Then October, this was the Bible study. And so I promised God in the middle of the food court, if anything like this ever happens to me,
oh, for heaven's sake,
this right here, right now, I will let people in. And then 3 days before Christmas, I get the call.
Oh, for heaven's sakes.
Right.
Okay. Yeah.
So it was, that was a game changer. And I look back and think that was God's grace that he even prepared my heart, because had I not gone through that whole thing, honestly, it would have been like, I would have tried to do it on my own. And, you know, so learning to be a gracious receiver, I mean, all these lessons that come from suffering, they don't feel good, but they alter our soul.
Yeah. Oh, it's so good. Wow. You know, and as you were thinking about talking about open hands and having them clenched. So I'm a nurse. And so one of the reflexes we have is that they do, our hands don't stay open. They kind of like curl up a little bit on their own. Mm-hmm. Like if you just were to lay it on a, and so I think that when we feel like we're gripping onto something really tight, I tend to beat myself up and be like, how could you not have enough faith? But just the idea that like, no, our natural tendency is to have our hands kind of go together, and that doesn't make us bad. That makes us human, you know.
Absolutely.
And so the opening of the hands is something we have that takes the effort, and that's what takes doing over and over again.
Oh, that's so helpful. That's so good. Yes.
Anyway.
And it is. And open hands to me is not only, you know, having him take things, but it also means he gives things, and everything is sifted through his goodness. And so,
yeah, we do only think of it as a negative.
Right. Yeah. It could be like a really positive thing. But again, we don't want to hold on. Like that's like even in parenting, like our kids are not really ultimately ours. And so we need to keep open hands about that too. But do we receive them fully? Absolutely. Oh my goodness. What a privilege. And yet they're ultimately not ours either. So it's open hands. Oh,
yes.
So hard.
It is. I was actually just talking to a girl named Rachel Jones today, and she is in Djibouti, Africa. And and I was at, and her, she sent her kids to boarding school. Actually, your episode is going to come out first, so I don't want to spoil the whole thing. But anyway, I said, wow, what was that like? She goes, oh, well, family isn't the idol in Africa that it is in America. I'm like, oh.
Wow.
So the idea of holding family with open hands, I know. I was like, and you can say that because you live on another continent and you're safe.
Yes. Oh, my goodness.
But it's true. I don't know. Just think open hands and all the things. Not easy. Okay. So we are almost out of time. I want to know, though, like you said, this book, you wrote it a long time ago. And so there's a lot of stuff going on that's new, like for you. So what's God doing now for you today in your heart?
All sorts of things. I think, well, we're days away from this book release.
Yes.
And that is equal parts thrilling and also like terrifying. I'm so excited. And yet at the same time, I get into imposter syndrome. And I just think, who am I, you know, to write a book about open hands, willing heart when I'm struggling in my own life in real time? And, you know, so there's just this ongoing struggle with that. And God is meeting me in that too. Like as I'm making time and choosing to make time to meet with him and hearing from him what he thinks about the whole thing, you know, I'm hearing I'm well pleased. I'm currently in Matthew right now, and it's like reading about how Jesus was discipled by John the Baptist, and when he came out of the water and the dove came down and God spoke over him, my beloved son with whom I'm well pleased. And I just think that was before Jesus did any miracles, before he died on the cross for our sin. I mean, there's just this delight in, you know, it has nothing to do with our performance. We are just beloved in us. God is well pleased. Like the death of Christ covering our sin, we have absolute freedom to run to God, allow him to just to delight in us. And so that's what I need to keep going back to and resting in, because left to myself, I just kind of start freaking out because it's like, what does this mean? How does this work? I don't have enough. I'm not enough. I don't have enough. There's this scarcity mentality, honestly, that comes with it. Like, will there be enough reviews? Because if there are enough reviews, then people will find it on Amazon faster. And then that changes the algorithms. And, you know, and I'm trying to beat the system, whatever the system is, instead of just wow, God, this is clearly you all the way from beginning to end. None of it makes sense except for that you were opening doors and, you know, coaxing me through, you know, yeah. And I'm going scared and I don't know what's going to, you know, so it's just, it's a crazy maker, but that's in real time kind of what, where God is meeting me right now. That. And the other part is that I'm starting a podcast myself. So
yay.
And I'm creating a space for Asian American women to talk about our Asian American journey. And my hope is that the non-Asians will listen to the podcast and have a space to learn about Asian American culture.
Yes.
But it's really a space for Asian American women. So we don't have to worry about having to code switch or talk about, you know, explain things. It's just really, we're there to have our conversation and everyone's welcome to listen to it. But it's not like, so it's not like a, you know, TikTok, the game is locked idea. But so my, it's like, so there's several layers of what it is. It's not even a Christian podcast because my hope is that as Asian American women find it, that ultimately they would find the Lord too. Yeah. So there's just so much, but it's scary for me, Emily. It's like, I don't know how to do the microphone and uploading. Did I actually, did it record? And how's the sound quality? I mean, all of these things, I have no idea on the back end how this works, you know?
Well, I know that you have lots of friends who podcast, but I can totally help you and it's going to be great.
Thank you.
It's going to be great. I love that. Do you know Grace Cho?
Mm-hmm, I
do. Okay, good. All right.
She's very dear friend.
I just need to make sure you knew her if you didn't.
So. Yes, yes. She's on my list, too, that I want to interview her.
So. Good. Okay, good. All right. Tell me about Africa New Life. You said you just got back.
Yes. Okay, so I love the Ministry of Africa New Life because it is an organization founded and led by Rwandans in Rwanda. So when you have people in country that know what's needed, it changes everything. I remember in the book, actually, I tell the story of my friend Una, who, you know, well-meaning, you know, the white missionaries that come in and say, hey, this is fertile ground. Let's plant tomatoes. Why don't you plant tomatoes here? And the Africans on the ground know, hello, hippopotamus, come right up, and they eat the kids. Like, you know, this is not, you know, well-meaning, but you just don't know. Yes. So in that way, I love Africa New Life, and I love their vision for student sponsorship, where education changes everything. And so it's a beautiful come alongside. It's not a, oh, these are my other children in Africa. It's like, no, they have their own parents. You know, we're fine. You know, it's like, no, we are, it is, I, our family sponsors a student, you know, and helping to pay the fees that she can remain in school. And that. As they remain in school. So what was so great about this trip is that we met Rwandan young adults who had been sponsored, you know, for all of these years. And it was like, where are they now? And to see the difference that sponsorship made and to hear that they themselves are sponsoring students to pay it forward. It was just so awesome. So I am like all about sponsorship. I just think it is the game changer. And it's just so full of it's compassion in the gospel together. You know, and I love it. So if you are willing to link it to the Where Are They Now campaign, there's some incredible photos of and their stories, and you hear about all the places that they've been led to, you know, serve and how it's changed their families and their communities.
No doubt.
It's just amazing. So yeah, love it.
Oh, good. Okay, well, send me the link and I'll make sure that we put that in the show notes.
Yeah.
So finally, what is something you can't stop talking about these days?
Oh, gosh. Okay. I as you can tell, I have many words. Like,
it's great. Okay. It would have been a strange interview if you hadn't.
Yes. Okay. So during this trip, so Jessica Honiger with Noonday Collective. So she does jewelry and stuff like that. But she gave all of us on the trip this. It's called the Rustic Leather Wallet.
Okay.
Okay. It is like, okay, so remember when fanny packs used to be in and now they're kind of coming back again?
Yes, I've seen them.
It's a little bit kind of weird, but
yeah, you know, I don't know if I'm on board. Okay.
Yeah, so I'm not, so this one is, okay, this is why I cannot stop talking about it. It can go around your waist.
Okay.
But it's like a leather wallet. So it looks really good, but it is the perfect size for an iPhone.
Okay.
A few credit cards, a lipstick. You know, and then you can also like switch it up with a strap so it's a crossbody little thing. So it is so perfect for travel and just going about town. And so if you're a young mom with a diaper bag, you can actually keep the most important things like right next to you safe. And it's made in India, I think. So it's helping Indian artisans. You know, so there's just so many layers. But I'm like, so I love it. It's hanging up on my wall right there. I don't know if you can see it.
Ooh, I can see it.
Me,
yeah, I wanted to. I wanted to see it.
Kind of like
old. I think that I always am looking for something when I go on a bike ride because I don't want to not bring my phone because I know that we're going to fall into a something. I don't know, but maybe worst case scenario. But I've been in times where I needed a phone and I didn't want to have a phone, but that would be perfect.
Yes. So, yeah, that would put right around your waist and you could just go bike, you know, or run to Trader Joe's or whatever, or throw it over your crossbody. And it's just small because I usually carry a ginormous purse. Because, you know, I just might need,
you know,
four chapsticks. I don't know. So this kind of forces me to, like, slim down.
That's great.
Just the most important things. But you can put a lipstick in there. So
I love it. I will check that out. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Vivian. This has been absolute joy.
Oh, I've loved talking with you, and I can't wait to meet you in Dallas.
Okay, I hope you loved that. Don't you just want to be her BFF? Because she is so sweet. So sweet. So what will your strategy to struggle well be based on what Vivian said? Maybe you sit down and have a real think about what are you holding on really tight to? What do you need to pry your white knuckles off of? Or maybe you say you're surrendering, but deep down you know you're kind of pretend surrendering. Like Sunday morning surrendering, but the rest of the week you're not really. We're really good at convincing ourselves of things that aren't actually true sometimes, right? Maybe you think about that this week. Or maybe you have surrendered in the past, but you've kind of sort of taken it back a little bit. And you can re-up, like Vivian said. Just re-surrender. You only have to do it till you die. We are always going to try to take back that control. So you might as well just open those hands up again. There's no shame in that. In fact, that's the humble thing to do, yeah? Maybe the talk about Sabbath really was something you want to chew on more. I tried that lighting the candle in the center of the table thing, because today's Sunday actually, which is probably a day I shouldn't be recording the podcast, but I did not do it earlier. So I still have some Sabbath growing to do. But even just having the candle, it was interesting because I put the candle in the middle of the table. Don't do that if you have toddlers, but obviously you know that. But my kids are old enough that, Lord willing, at least when I'm not looking, they are not putting things in the fire. So as I put the candle in the center of the table, though, even when I wanted to get mad about like crumbs everywhere, or I just wanted to be mad in the kitchen about people making messes, I found it harder to be mad when I was like, this is the holy day. I should not be mad about that. I don't know. I felt like it helped me stay calm the heck down because I remembered that I was thinking of God today and not about why can nobody take the trash out? Why can nobody find the dishwasher? None of that stuff is a really big deal. And the candle helped me remember that. What Vivian said about it being a step of faith to trust that God will provide even when our to-do list isn't done. And for me, it also helps me plan differently to get everything I need to get done before Sunday. I say this as I'm recording this, but largely everything else was done. There is grace in the Sabbath. I know I bring you lots of books. I would really highly recommend that another way you could struggle well would be to get this book, Open Hands, Willing Heart. It really encouraged my heart. It's got great discussion questions at the back. If surrender is something that you have been struggling with, Vivian puts it into words in a beautiful way. I loved what Vivian said about the bracelet that said, watch for God. Maybe this week you write that on your mirror with a whiteboard marker, or write it on a note and stick it in your pocket and just be mindful of watching for God. What's he doing? We would see a lot more if we opened our eyes. And finally, I just want to encourage you. Like Vivian said, God's been reminding her, God was well pleased with Jesus before he did anything. We sometimes think he might be pretty well pleased with us after we've done something, but certainly not before. But we're God's daughters if we have submitted our lives to his authority. If we have trusted in his son, Jesus, we are his daughters. And just like when we had our kiddos come to us for the first time, we did not look at them and think they needed to do more for us to think they were the absolute bee's knees. So, mom, when you are sitting there and you are just thinking of all the things that don't quite measure up with your body and with your home, maybe with your relationships, with your parenting, I want you to know that you are his beloved daughter and he is well pleased. It's hard to understand, but that doesn't mean it's not true. Ladies, if you love the show, will you share it? Will you get this into the ear holes of women who need to hear it? And make sure you're subscribed, because next week is a Struggle in Sisters. The next week, Elisa Keaton is going to fix all of my wellness problems. And then the final week of July is Problem Solved, where we fix all your problems. You really cannot lose. So make sure you're subscribed to the Mom Struggling Well podcast. All right, ladies, let me pray for us. Lord, you're well pleased with us. I don't even understand how that's possible. I am not well pleased with me. Why would you be? Lord, your ways are higher than our ways. Your thoughts are higher than our thoughts. Would you help us to willingly surrender to you, knowing that you are not trying to rip us off? You are not out to get us. You are not disappointed. And only good will come from following you all the days of our lives. Will you help the places where we have unbelief? In Jesus' name, amen.